Hello and welcome along. This is Seth Bennett on Sport Today, live from the BBC Sports Centre, which is a hive of activity on transfer deadline day. And over the next 25 minutes, we'll bring you all the news of the biggest deals from across the globe.
Buongiorno, this is Tancredi Palmeri from Milan. It's deadline day also here in Italy. And the big story is that Kaká is back to Milan at AC Milan. But not only that, I will add about that more later.
Hi, this is Taufik Khalil of the Bayerische Rundfunk in Germany, and all the big deals are done in Germany. The last big one was Kevin Prince Boateng from Milan to Schalke, but today everybody is looking on Mesut Özil from Real Madrid to England because he's German.
Hi, here we are in Madrid. It's Juan Castro from newspaper Marca in Spain. People, Madridistas, Real Madrid fans are really looking forward of the new transfer of Gareth Bale to Real Madrid.
Hello, my name is Florian Fieschi. I'm a football journalist based in the south of France, and I work for the newspaper Le Parisien. The big story here is the transfer of the young player of the year, Florian Thauvin, from Lille to Marseille.
And I'm John Bennett, alongside Seth at the BBC Sports Centre. I'll bring you the latest on all the deals involving the big names in African football. Victor Moses has completed his loan move to Liverpool. Arsenal are in talks to sign Demba Ba. And after that humiliating deadline day back in January, there's some good news for Peter Odemwingie.
Every angle covered then, you won't miss a thing here on the BBC World Service. But let's start with the biggest deal of the lot. Real Madrid smashing the world transfer record fee to sign Gareth Bale from Tottenham for $130 million. Well, earlier today, he was introduced to the crowd at the Bernabeu.
I just want to say that it's absolutely amazing to be here. I just want to try a few words in Spanish. Hola, es un sueño para mí jugar para Real Madrid.
Well, the BBC's Tom Burridge was there. Tom, what was it like?
Well, Seth, amazing atmosphere inside the stadium. The fans outside were just streaming past all morning. Between 15 and maybe 25,000 fans packed into the stadium. And I was impressed by Gareth Bale's stab at Spanish. Not a bad first effort. Definitely better than David Beckham when he was the latest Galactico to be signed here. But a huge atmosphere. This saga has gone on and on, right up to the wire. I think a lot of relief amongst the fans we spoke to. But, you know, they're just looking forward to Gareth Bale playing on the pitch. And a lot of excitement about him teaming up with Cristiano Ronaldo.
A huge transfer fee, huge expectation. But how does his welcome compare with that of others from the past?
Well, it's always been a big deal when these Galacticos come into town, and when they, you know, we talk about such huge amounts of money. Real Madrid are this sort of ultimate marketing machine. You know, not only do they want Gareth Bale to perform on the pitch, they want him to perform off it. Huge amount of money, and I think it was interesting in the statement the president of Real Madrid, Florentino Perez, said in the stadium in front of Gareth Bale. He said, you know, welcome, this is your new home, we are your new family. But he did interestingly point out that Real Madrid, in his words, is the most demanding football club in the world. So I think, you know, implicit in that is the pressure. Can he live up to such a high billing? He is a marketing gem, though, 24, good-looking, clean-cut image. And I think Real Madrid will be keen to play him well on the pitch and off it.
And just finally, he had the chance to show off a few skills. How did he get on with the old kick-ups?
Well, pretty impressive, as you'd expect. And the fans loved every moment. They were cheering every twist and turn of Gareth Bale. They loved his effort at Spanish. He wasn't bad, saying that it was his dream to be here at Real Madrid. And there is that sort of expectation, the allegiance to the shirt. But ultimately, he'll have to perform on the pitch. You know, he is an outstanding player, no doubt about it. He did so well at Tottenham, 26 goals last season. He's got huge pace. So, you know, together with the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, the umpteenth other stars that they have at this club, if their latest Welsh Galactico, their world record-beating transfer, can perform on the pitch, then it will be a mouth-watering prospect for football fans here at the Bernabeu.
That's the BBC's Tom Burridge then in Madrid. So that was the big one then, finally. Gareth Bale arrives with Real Madrid. But who else are we going to be talking about between now and the end of the show? All of these players could be mentioned.
played infield, gives it to Ozil. Ozil blasted into the net. They've come up with a goal.
And each of his low cross picks out Cahill. Baines! Oh, that's a brilliant goal. Oh, that's going to be a contender for goal of the month. Leighton Baines with his right foot. Who would have believed it?
Baines in low again. Oh, and Fellaini couldn't miss. He was 2 yards out in the centre of the goal. Fellaini just turns it home. Everton lead by 1-0.
Defoe is unmarked. Defoe with a shot. Saved by Szczęsny. And Adebayor is there to tap in against his old club from inside the six-yard box. And he couldn't miss. Tottenham strike first.
Combined, great goal. Driven beyond Jones' outstretched arms. Fantastic strike from Kabay.
Moses looking for his first goal. It's in off the post. It's Victor Moses. And he's been waiting to do that somersault celebration.
Kaká's on his own here. Kaká wins the ball. Kaká moving in toward the penalty. Still Kaká. Kaká's through. Kaká scores. Oscar makes a run forward. It's played toward Bah. Bah hooks it in.
So there you go, some of the biggest names in the game who could be on the move. John Bennett, our football reporter, is still alongside me. John, how has this transfer window compared to others?
It's already been a record breaker, Seth. I can tell you that we've still got 6 hours to go as well. The Premier League record, the English Premier League record for spending has been broken. This is according to the finance company Deloitte. The amount spent by top flight clubs is £515 million. That's around $800 million. The previous record for spending was back in 2008. That was £500 million. And the total figure by the time the window shuts should be higher than £600 million. Huge amount of spending. Why is that? It's because of the bumper TV deal. It was worth over $9 billion globally this year. So clubs have more money than ever, and plenty more money will be spent before the deadline, I think.
John, stay with me. You're with Sport Today on the BBC World Service. We've heard about the big departure from the English Premier League, but what about the big arrivals? One club who've had a pretty tough transfer window so far are Arsenal. David Ornstein from BBC Sports joins me now. Arsene Wenger, been trying to spend money all summer, we think. Has he managed it today?
It looks like he has indeed, Seth. I think Arsenal fans will be doing cartwheels about this. They look like they're about to sign Mesut Ozil from Real Madrid in a huge deal, €50 million. It will smash the club's transfer record. It will smash their wage structure. Terms have been agreed between the clubs, with the player. He's undergone his medical in Germany, where he's away with the Germany national team on international duty. And we're expecting an announcement from Arsenal in the coming hours. They're absolutely delighted with that. They had been looking for an attacking midfielder all season. They were looking for a defensive midfielder. They brought back Matthew Flamini. It remains to be seen if they'll still get a striker before the window shuts, with Demba Ba linked on a season-long loan from Chelsea. So a good day for Arsenal.
Any idea when this is going to be announced?
Yeah, we think in the coming hours, definitely this evening. There were suggestions it would be now, right now, as we're speaking here, but that hasn't materialised. There's a lot of paperwork to be gone through, cross the T's, dot the I's, and then they'll be there. But I don't think this one's going to go down to the wire. Arsenal are confident that they'll get it out there, and fans all over the world will be able to celebrate his arrival at the Emirates Stadium.
Well, if you get the nod between now and when the show goes off air, make sure you shout nice and loud and we'll come and find you again. John Bennett's still alongside me. An awful lot of African players on the move in this window as well.
Yeah, David mentioned one there. Demba Ba talks ongoing between Arsenal and Chelsea about that loan move. What else? Well, the loan deal taking Nigeria star Victor Moses from Chelsea to Liverpool was one of the first moves confirmed today. First Nigerian international ever to play for Liverpool. Peter Odemwingie caused so much outrage, didn't he, when he thought he was signing for QPR in January but ended up being turned away in the final hour of the transfer window. Well, this time it's been a happier transfer window for him. It looks as though he's signing for Cardiff. That should be confirmed soon. Southampton have loaned the Zambia striker Emmanuel Mayuka to French side Sochaux for the season. Could be more moves to come. Jordan Ayew of Ghana could leave Marseille. Bastia are interested. Could Emmanuel Adebayor and Benoit Assarakoto be leaving Spurs? Second tier side QPR interested. Stefan Sessignon's on the verge of joining West Brom from Sunderland. And Middlesbrough in the second tier of English football are close to signing the Sierra Leone international Kai Kamara from Kansas City in the MLS.
And what about Didier Ayew? There was talk of him, wasn't there, maybe going to Newcastle. Any more on that?
Yes, he was constantly linked with Newcastle, but Marseille have confirmed he's staying put, so he will play for Marseille. I think Champions League football was a big factor to him, wanted Champions League football. And also Marseille don't need the money anymore. They've got a big pot of money from the Champions League, so they don't need any more.
Okay, thanks for the moment. That's John Bennett. As and when any deals go down, you will hear it first here on the BBC World Service. Now, the champions, Manchester United, have been trying to add to their squad, but what do they really need? I've been speaking to former assistant manager Mike Phelan, who told me where the new manager needs to focus his attention.
Only David Moyes knows. He's the man in charge. I think, it's well known and been well publicised that everybody's talking about a central midfield player and possibly after the result at the weekend, he may be looking in other ways. But I can't see them really jumping in, even though the money's there, that they'll jump in and make a major, major stellar signing.
With what he's got there already, will Manchester United still be able to compete with the others in the Premier League that maybe have gone that little bit further and pushed the boat out?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, for a club like Manchester United to win the Premier League by 11 points last season, obviously you're going to get a reaction from every other team in the Premier League because they're playing catch-up. They have to narrow that gap. So what those other clubs have done is exactly what you would have expected. They've been forced into changing strategy and going after a number of players in order to strengthen and to close that gap. From Manchester United's point of view, they're still in the box seat. They've got a championship winning side. They've got players there who've been there, seen it and done it, and will continue to strive to win things. So from David Moyes' point of view, he's had time now to assess. He'll know what he's got. He'll try to probably bring people in, but I wouldn't have thought he's going to go all out and out of his way in order to make a signing just for the sake of it.
Former Manchester United assistant manager Mike Phelan. Ben Smith has been working away on the BBC Sport website. I'm sure you'll have read some of his words on Manchester United in the past 24, 48 hours. Ben, what is the latest from Old Trafford?
Well, we expect the deal for Marouane Fellaini to happen at some point this evening. I think that's the one thing we do know about today, is that although the talks for Leighton Baines seem to have ground to a halt over the last few days and Everton's simply not willing to part with him and maybe United's will to get him not quite as strong as it is with Fellaini. So that's one deal we do expect to happen. The really interesting one is Ander Herrera, the Athletic Bilbao midfielder, is likened to Paul Scholes. And there are reports in Spain at the moment, which I'm desperately trying to stand up, that the United and Athletic have come to an agreement on a deal around about £30.5 million, which is very close to United's transfer record, of course, for Dimitar Berbatov. But this is for a very young 23-year-old Spanish player who not a lot of people know a lot about. No doubt his great potential, but whether he's ready to deliver as a playmaker for Manchester United is another question. So hopefully I'll have more on that shortly.
And we'll be speaking to our man in Madrid on the way, so we'll see whether Juan has more details for us on that one. What about elsewhere? So many rumours doing the rounds on social media. Juan Mata's name has been linked with everybody under the sun. Is he going? Is he staying?
I'm told he's going nowhere. Chelsea are utterly adamant that he will not be going anywhere, barring a silly offer, which I certainly don't see coming in. PSG have been linked with him this afternoon. Liverpool, there was a wild rumour doing the rounds that Liverpool were in for him. I'm told that's utter nonsense. One of those stories you get on deadline day. Liverpool will do one more piece of business this transfer window, and that does seem to be a loan move for Shea Given, who'll come in as a deputy for Simon Mignolet. But barring that, they've done their business. They've obviously signed three players already today, with Victor Moses joining on loan from Chelsea, and Thiago Ilori from Sporting Lisbon, and Mahamadou Sakho from PSG, as you know.
Okay, Ben, just tell us very briefly, what's the story you're writing right now? What's the one that you're just penning?
I haven't got one on the go at the moment. I am desperately chasing this Herrera story, and if I can stand that up in the next half an hour or so, I will do so, and you'll read it on the BBC website.
Thank you. bbc.com/sport for more from Ben Smith. We are live in the BBC Sports Centre here in Salford in Manchester, right by the TV studios where all the online journalists are working. We're also getting the stories from across the world as well. Let's head to Italy next, where one deal has certainly grabbed the headlines as Kaká returns to Milan. I'm joined now by Tancredi Palmieri from Italy. Tancredi, how have the Milan fans taken the Kaká news?
Well, buongiorno. This is enough for you. When he arrived at the airport and there was an hundred of fans waiting for him, there was one banner was pretty clear that was saying, "I belong to Kaká." It is pretty famous that whenever he's celebrating a goal, Kaká is showing this shirt, "I belong to Jesus." And the Milan fans are saying, "We belong to Kaká." There are hundreds already waiting for him at Milan headquarters in Milan downtown, because people weren't expecting this movement anymore, then something was going to happen. Everybody realized when Milan sold Kevin Prince Boateng to Schalke only 3 or 4 days ago, I already don't remember with this deadline, they tried hard to bring Keisuke Honda from CSKA Moscow in the very last moment, but the Russian club just delayed that, so Honda will reach Milan in January. And then there was this blitz from Milan CEO Galliani yesterday in the night. Kaká decided to cut his wages of 50%, renouncing to more than 50%, renouncing to 12 millions of euros of wages.
Wow, an incredible amount of money. What about transfer fees, though? What have they had to pay for Kaká?
Nothing. This is a fantastic transfer fee, actually, if you think about that. Kaká went for 64.5 million of euros to Real Madrid and came back for free. And probably just the chance to get rid of such a fat salary from the salary budget of Real Madrid was for the Real Madrid management a reason good enough to let Kaká go for free.
Very briefly, Tancredi, have there been any deals today that have piqued your interest?
There is one very interesting that is going to happen. We are waiting for the last moment. Lazio is very close to seal with Galatasaray for the forward Burak Yılmaz. Scored 8 goals in last Champions League, only behind Cristiano Ronaldo and Lewandowski. They reached a deal for the transfer, 15 million of euros. Still details about the payment for the agents.
Okay, Tancredi, thank you for the moment. Let's go back to Spain then on Sport Today here on the BBC World Service. Juan Castro writes for Marca, the newspaper in Madrid. Gareth Bale has been the move that everybody's been discussing. But Juan, what else has been happening in Spanish football over the last 24 hours?
It's true that everything was concentrated on Gareth Bale's transfer, but it was not the only one. Here in Madrid, we are just following minute by minute the possible transfer of Mesut Ozil to Arsenal, which is not already confirmed, but we expect to do it this afternoon. And also, of course, Kaká is already done, and also that was very attractive for me, the media here. And well, we don't think Real Madrid is gonna sign any other one, and we don't think Real Madrid is going to leave any other player from Real Madrid. So Benzema, Di Maria, all will stay in Madrid. Atletico de Madrid already confirmed Guilabogui, the French midfielder. So he's confirmed that he's going to play in Atletico. And of course, Barcelona didn't do anything. Everybody was expecting a central defender to sign, but Barcelona didn't sign anyone. So that was that's the news right now. And everybody is expecting and waiting and just waiting the confirmation of Ozil.
What about the move? We spoke to Ben Smith from the BBC Sport website a few moments ago, and a Herrera to Manchester United. Unfortunately, we appear to have lost Juan Castro, or that move has perhaps left him speechless. One move that perhaps has been a little interesting on this transfer deadline day comes from the former Formula One world champion, Fernando Alonso. He saved the Basque cycling team Euskaltel Euskadi's World Tour license, and he's going to create a cycling team based around Samuel Sanchez for the 2014 season. So that is a purchase of a difference. John Bennett is still following the stories here, John.
Yes, plenty of stories going on. We've heard from Peter Odemwingie. The medical has been passed, he's told us, and hopefully the paperwork should be sorted any moment now for his move to Cardiff City from West Bromwich Albion. It'll be great to see him getting first team football again. Remember, the World Cup not too far away. He'll be hoping to get back in the Super Eagles squad.
We talk about the players, we talk about the clubs, but what about the agents and players' representatives? Those are the guys that actually make the headlines, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the middlemen that we never hear from, but they're at the centre of all the deals in this transfer window on this deadline day. So I've been wondering, what's it like to be an agent? What's it like to be a player's representative on a day like this when your phone is constantly ringing? I've been speaking to John Suzano, a former NFL professional American footballer. He now represents players in the English Premier League and La Liga in Spain. He says, as you'd expect, it's been a hectic few weeks and days.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. It's pretty intense. I mean, you know, a lot of clubs are still looking for a lot of players to come on in, especially attackers. For some reason, this transfer window has been absolutely nuts. with requests for wingers and strikers and so forth. Defenders, you know, not many coming in and out. So, yeah, it's been nonstop.
How frustrating can it be, say, if you can't get through to someone, you need to close a deal, no one's picking up their phone? Does that happen?
It's happened. In fact, it happened a couple of weeks ago. It happened a couple of weeks ago to a colleague of mine. He had a player, down on a trial at a new promoted prem club. He was there, did well, and he couldn't get through to the manager afterwards. I think the manager was away on something due to family or something else. But my colleague had no clue about it. So he couldn't get through to him, and he had pressure from the player as well. He had to make a decision, and he got called up by another club. So he took that deal. Finally, when the manager picked up the phone and called him back, he found that he signed somewhere else. All hell broke loose. But that's the nature of the game, I guess. You know, everyone gets a little bit nervy, and you got to just pull the trigger on certain things.
So how worried do you get? Say, if you're on the phone to someone like me, you might be missing important phone calls. Do you have a number of phones?
Yeah, I got this number diverted to like two separate handsets. So no, we'll be okay.
And a lot's talked about advisors and agents at this time of year. Sometimes you get a bad reputation. Do you think that's unfair? Are you needed by the clubs and the players and the managers?
I think there's always going to be a place for an advisor or a representative or an agent, however you want to call yourself or however you're licensed, if that makes sense. There's always a place for them. I think there are a lot of my colleagues in the game who give us a bit of a bad reputation, but for the most part, we try to do the best thing, I guess the best for our clients. I speak personally, as an ex-player myself, I'd like to ensure that, that I'm doing the best for my clients more than anything else before I'm making a buck. So, speaking like that, I guess in a room full of my colleagues is a bit naive, but that's what it is.
What's it like after the window closes, the days afterwards? Do you get the chance to have a break?
Everyone exhales. I think everyone exhales, from the club secretary down to the principal agents dealing for the clubs. Everyone just takes a nice deep breath and says, "All right, that's that vacation time." So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to at least taking one or two days off and taking my wife away or something and just relaxing.
Yeah, your wife can't be too happy with you at the moment. Always on the phone.
She actually has it booked out in her calendar. She actually knows when the transfer windows open up, so she knows after this one we've got two more weeks of loans. So the phone will still be on, but I won't be as crazy as I am now. But she actually has it in her calendar. She's booked holidays around the windows.
That's the side, Seth, of the transfer window that we don't see, the effect on families. That was John Sorzano, who represents footballers in the English Premier League and La Liga.
We're live from the BBC Sports Centre here, the hub of all the transfer activity, news coming into the building all the time. We'll recap some of it before the end of the show. This is Sport Today on the BBC World Service. So we've heard of the big deals then for Madrid, Milan, Manchester United and Arsenal. But what about in Germany? Joined now live from Munich by football journalist Taufik Khalil. Has it been a quiet day today?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're talking about the big names, all the big deals have been done. Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Bayer Leverkusen, all the big money was spent. The last big news was Kevin Prince-Boateng to Schalke last week. That's it. So we are out of it. Only small changes, but we are looking to Mesut Özil going from Madrid to Arsenal. That's a big one for us in Germany as well.
And what will be the big back page first thing in the morning tomorrow in Germany?
Well, I think the big page will that Mesut Özil is now the most expensive German player in history. 50 million euros, that's nothing we had so far. And he just arrived in Munich 3 hours ago at the German national team. And it's very interesting to see how he is.
Taufik, thank you for the moment from Germany to France and Florian Fleschi. Florian, at this stage, what about the French market? Has it been a busy one today?
Hello, Russ. Yes, it's very, very busy. And it's busy because Florian Thauvin, the striker from Marseille, he signed a contract with Lille, but he's ready to sign for Marseille now, and he didn't play for Lille. He's in Marseille right now, and he should sign in a couple of hours for at least 15 million with bonus, a contract for 5 years for Florian Thauvin.
What about PSG then and Monaco? Any more big deals for them before the transfer window closes?
Yes, I think for PSG they want a one big signature before the end of the market, and we are talking about Juan Mata from Chelsea. Laurent Blanc is looking for a creative offensive midfielder. They have tried Ozil, Cabaye, but in vain. And the Spanish international from Chelsea could be a good one at the end of this transfer window. And for Monaco, maybe one Adrian Lopez on loan from Atletico Madrid. The Spanish striker is friend with Radamel Falcao. And he could come in few hours in Monaco, but we have still a few hours to wait to finally know what happened at the end.
Florian, thank you for your time. Speaking from Toulon in France, this is Sport Today. John Bennett, our football reporter, is still alongside me here in the BBC Sports Centre. John, just recap some of the big deals in the final 30 seconds for today.
Well, we heard about Gareth Bale. That was all sorted on Sunday, wasn't it? But all the fans got to see him in a Real Madrid shirt today. Kaká, his move from Real Madrid to AC Milan. Victor Moses, his loan move to Liverpool from Chelsea, still waiting. Will Mesut Ozil join Arsenal from Real Madrid? Will Ander Herrera join Manchester United from Athletic Bilbao? And will Marouane Fellaini join Manchester United from Everton?
Well, there's only one place where you can keep right up to date, and that is the BBC Sport website, which is bbc.com/sports. That just about does it for this edition of Sport Today. We're back same time, same place tomorrow.